Hey, you guys. Welcome to episode 39 of Run Wild with Lauren and Bud. Thanks for listening in. We are playing catch up today. We're going to talk about all the fun adventures we've undertaken in 2024 so far. We're going to talk about the Mount Mitchell Challenge, which is a race we love in North Carolina. But we're also going to talk about Nashville's only adventure race. The Chinar 12-hour adventure race. We had a great time working together as a team for that event. So we're going to tell you all about it. We're also going to tell you a little bit about some upcoming exciting things we've got going on. So join us today. Take us with you on your long run. Let's play catch up together. All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Lauren.
What's going on with you, bud?
I'm just chilling out.
You're just chilling. I heard you've been a little under the weather lately.
Oh God, the last 3 days I was bedridden. It was
Yeah.
horrible.
Oh, that
But
sucks.
there's this disease called children, and
Poor bud. He's had the flu or something, but he's got to get his butt in gear because where are we going on Friday, bud?
Cowie.
Yeah, we have a running retreat to take care of.
Yeah.
We'll do another podcast on that. I need you, bud. You can't die on me. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we've been slacking in the podcast department, and that's mainly my fault because I've been so freaking busy doing this running stuff and coaching and doing all the things. But we've been pretty busy ourselves doing the running stuff lately. So let's back up because the 2 previous weekends leading up to this podcast, we were pretty busy doing things.
Very busy.
Very busy. So at the end of February, we had the Mount Mitchell Challenge, right?
Oh yeah.
We had a very unique experience this year.
It was cold, right?
It was cold. We had snow. And then the
Yeah.
next weekend, the weekend after Mount Mitchell, we had an adventure race together, a
Oh
12-hour
yeah.
adventure race. So we did Mount Mitchell one weekend. And then the following weekend, we were out again doing a 12-hour adventure race. And I think that they both went pretty well. What do you think?
I think they went well.
Yeah. So, when I think about what I want to say about Mount Mitchell, if anyone has been a longtime listener of the podcast, they've probably heard us talk about this race, Mount Mitchell, because we do it every year. This was like my 10th year. I know you've done it a lot. And so this year was cool for many reasons. It snowed, so the summit was closed. We didn't get to go all the way to the summit. So the race was actually just a mountain marathon because it was too icy and too much bad weather at top. And so we got some great snow and it was a really great run. I enjoyed it. I think you enjoyed it as well.
Oh yeah.
It could have been a little bit better because I didn't get much sleep the night before. And do you
Oh, I
want
forgot about that.
to tell? That's what I've been building up to. I was like,
I
Bud
forgot about that.
doesn't. So, Bud, tell us what happened the night before the race.
I think it was a haunted house.
Yeah.
And I never experienced that before in my life. And it was the darndest thing, but I think there was a ghost named Kevin, and he was maybe the previous tenant of the house, still living there, and fixing beverages and watching TV late at night. And
Yeah.
I can't explain it,
Yeah.
but when you see it, you're just like, this is unbelievable. I
Yeah,
don't
you
know how
watch
to
those
describe
documentaries, right? And you're like,
it.
oh, I'm sure this is just like, all in their heads or someone was just messing with them. But now, like, seriously, after our night at Mount Mitchell, I am completely terrified that there really are ghosts.
What kind of ghost do you call it that can use electronic devices?
Isn't
Is
it
it
like a poltergeist?
poltergeist?
I mean, I'm
They
not
can turn your TV on and they can make, images go on the screen, right?
I'm not a paranormal specialist by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't know. So here's what happened. Middle of the night before the race, we went to bed early. It's like maybe right before 2 a.m. I hear what sounds like voices. And so I'm like half awake, half asleep. I'm like, maybe I'm dreaming. And so then I kind of hear them some more. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm dreaming. And I try to go back to sleep. And then no, I definitely hear something. And all of a sudden, I hear, you know, that commercial that goes, Liberty, Liberty, you know, where they're like
Oh my
singing
God.
Liberty insurance song. Okay. So that was really loud. And I was like, oh, that's a commercial. I was like, I know that sound. So I get up to investigate because I am now sure that I'm hearing what is a TV. And so I'm like, I cannot believe Bud is up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. watching TV, you know, right before a race. So I get up. There is no one in the living room. The TV is on. It is blaring. Okay. Now, neither one of us had touched this TV. I mean, we'd just gotten into town. We did packet pickup, went to dinner, went to bed. The TV is blaring. So I go wake up Bud. And, you know, Bud doesn't want to wake up. And I'm like, Bud, there's something weird. Like, what did you turn on the TV? And he's like, I didn't turn on the TV. And so I'm like, oh my God, get up. So we go investigate, right? And what do you find next to the recliner in front of the TV, Bud?
There's a cup with ice and tea in it, and it's sweating. And so it is not old, it is fresh. It's sitting by the recliner next to the TV.
Yeah, and neither one of us had touched anything in the house. No cups, no drinks,
Nothing.
nothing. And
And I'm
so I
thinking, did
think we
some guy break in? Did a guy break in and he's drinking tea, watching
that's what I
television?
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I'm like, I didn't even see the cup because I was just so terrified that the TV came on by itself. And then when Bud found the cup, I was like, oh my God, somebody's messing with this. Somebody has broken in or used the code. Somebody knows the code. They got in and they're messing with us. They're hiding in the house. Maybe they're going to kill us. I was terrified. And so we searched the
Like
house.
maybe they were standing over us, like looking for hours.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah, I thought, oh my God, if someone's in this house, they've been like watching me sleep for hours, like they've been walking around the house. So in my mind, right, like logical, analytical, former scientist Lauren, I'm like, somebody has broken into the house, made themselves a drink, watched TV, and has been just kind of goofing off watching us sleep. So we checked the whole house. The doors were locked, right, from the inside. It
Lock,
was locked.
lock, man,
We checked, it's
lock.
a tiny house. We checked every crevice. Nobody was there. The doors had not been opened. We checked the windows. I mean, at that point, we were completely just like, Bud kept saying, whose drink is this? Over and over. He kept looking at, whose drink is this? I'm like, Bud, I don't know. So yeah, so I was terrified. I really was. Absolutely, like we got to get out of this house. I know. I was like,
The
Bud,
worst part,
pack up our bags. Let's go.
I text the landlord. I think her name was Lisa. I said, "Hey, we think, did you give the code out to someone, or do you change the code often? You know, someone was in here." And she doesn't answer me back. Another person answers me, and it's a guy named Kevin. And he's like, "Oh, by the way, I'm the co-host. That's my cup." And I'm like, "What the hell? Did you come in here in the middle of the night or something?" And
So weird.
he goes, "I'm sorry, I left that." And I was like, "Well, how the hell did TV come on?" I don't
Yeah.
if I was talking to an actual human being or I was talking to the poltergeist.
Right. So we're like, so when that message came through, I was like, okay, some guy named Kevin says it was his cup and like not to worry. So I'm like, okay, that's good enough for me. I got a race tomorrow. Let's go back to bed. So we did. Like, I was
But
like, okay.
I
You
was
know,
thinking, has the cup been sitting there for 12 hours
we
with
didn't
ice
remember
in it?
seeing it. Like, I
I
never
didn't,
remember seeing
but I
it.
didn't look, but
No,
I
I
sure as
didn't.
hell didn't turn the TV on.
Well, and so getting that message back from whoever Kevin was, now I'm not sure who Kevin was, I was like, okay, see, it all makes sense. It's like Scooby-Doo. Like, in the end, it's not really a ghost. There's a reasonable explanation. So my mind was at ease. I was like, you know what? I don't want to ruin my race. I'm going back to bed. And gosh darn it, what happened at 4:30 a.m., bud? What happened?
The I woke up and the TV's blaring full blast again.
The TV is back on. When I heard it come back on, I was like, you've got to be
Oh,
freaking
God.
kidding me. I jumped out of bed. I was like, this is crazy. Unplug that thing. Unplug that
Oh, my
TV
God.
right now and tell Kevin to stop it. Like, oh, it's horrible, horrible. I mean, like, who knows? I don't know. Logical Lauren says, I'm sure all of it can be explained, but then there's a part of me that's just like, what the heck happened? And who is Kevin?
It makes no sense whatsoever.
No. And so we got very little sleep. Like, it wasn't great sleep. And so, not that you ever sleep well the night before a race. I mean, sometimes I do. But this was like a horrible night because like my adrenaline had been pumping. I was terrified. And then when it went off again the second time, the TV for the second time, totally just freaked me out so bad. And of course, there was no more like going back to sleep because it was like, well, I'm up now. And so, that was a little bit of a rough start to the race. Oh my gosh. But we both did it. I feel like I did pretty well. Probably wasn't my best performance. I probably could have done better had I not been up fighting ghosts, the night before. But I thoroughly enjoyed my run. Got a mountain
Well,
marathon out of it.
you hit some PRs, right?
I think so. I think it was like a PR or right on what I did last year, like pretty similar. Last year, obviously, we got to summit because the weather wasn't as snowy and icy. But yeah, this year it was still great. It was still a great run. I enjoyed it. We got to run in the snow at the top of the mountain. It was beautiful. Yeah, I had a great time. I think you did too, bud.
Yeah, I saw my blacksmith friends and stuff on the trail. It was good.
Oh
So.
yeah, that you see each year. Yeah. Yeah, so it was a good experience, but I could have lived without ghost, poltergeist, whatever, named Kevin. So next year, let's get a house that's not haunted, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna try.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so for those who don't know, the race is great. Some years the weather's not bad. They open the summit and it turns into like a 40 miler. Mount Mitchell is the highest peak in the east. So it beats out like all the others up in the north, like Mount Washington and all that, by just a little bit. So it's technically the tallest mountain in Appalachia on the east coast of the US. So it's a fun race. It's been on for 20 years now, I think. This was like their 20th year. Yeah, it's a really great race. The whole town comes out for it. It's got a lot of support. It's a neat area. It's a beautiful area. So yeah, love that race and intend to do it.
There's one dude that man, it's been more than 20 years, 'cause I saw the promo they had. They had like the one guy with the most Italian name in the world.
Yes, the
He
Italian name.
ran it every single time.
Yeah, so
And
my
you remember his name? 'Cause I know it.
No, it is like an Italian name, and he's
Here.
run it
No,
every.
here it is.
Oh, you
It's
got it?
Guido Ferrari.
Oh, that is like, yeah, I mean, how classic is
Excuse me.
that?
Guido Ferrari.
That's pretty darn Italian. Yeah.
I
Yeah, he's
know.
running every year, and that's amazing. I just love the town. Black Mountain is where it begins and ends, and I love Black Mountain. I've loved it since before I was a runner. I used to go visit Black Mountain, and so it's just a little mountain town. It's got some great places to eat. The scenery is amazing. I just love it. I know you do too, bud.
That's great.
Yeah. So that was our Mount Mitchell. It was, the run was good, nothing out of the ordinary, but we did survive our first haunting. So, bud, if we backtrack and we think about all the crazy stuff we've survived, we have survived bears, nuisance bears in the middle of the night, boar, wild boar. Being attacked by yellow jackets, and I'm
Yellow
talking
jackets.
swarms. And now We have survived a haunting.
Ghosts.
So I mean, we're ticking off those boxes, like we're just conquering the world, bud. I think that's what we're doing.
I'm feeling like this weekend we're gonna have some wild animal encounters.
Ooh, I don't know. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about could be.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in a minute. So we survived Mount Mitchell. Oh, and let's talk about if you go to Mount Mitchell. So if you come to the southeast and you go to North Carolina, where Mount Mitchell is, a little town called Black Mountain, you gotta eat at the Blue Ridge Biscuit Company because the biscuits are as big as my face. I love it. I have a picture. The biscuits are like this big and they're so good. Yeah, I just love that town. Oh my gosh, it's great. Oh, but we survived. So we both did well. Came home. We had a week to recover, and then let's talk about what happened the next week. Our adventure race. All right, bud. Fill everybody in. What's an adventure race?
So there's no set course on an adventure race. They basically don't tell you jack shit about what's happening
Right.
until an hour before it begins, and they give you some maps. And these maps don't even have your course on it. These maps basically have checkpoints. And so you have to use your skills with a map to figure out what course are you going to take. And the only thing that they ever tell you is maybe there's some off limits places where you can't go because it's either public roads and it's dangerous, or it's private property. So you have these maps and you're sitting here for like an hour before the race starts. So that's all the time you get to like plot your course. And the goal is to get as many checkpoints as you can and get back to the finish line in the set amount of time. And this particular race, I liked it. It was bike intensive, so that works out well for me. They had a few requirements where you had to cycle to the canoes, and you had to go on the canoe course, and then you had to cycle back in order to be able to officially finish. And then in between those times, you can collect as many checkpoints as your heart desires. Whereas, we tried to find some and we never could. They were just beyond our skill level, I guess. But I think we did well. What did we get, like 12 or 11 or something?
Something like that. Yeah. And so this race that we did is it's its second year. It's called the Chenar, and it's outside of Nashville, so it's Nashville area's only adventure race. And I did it last year solo, and I was just kind of fumbling my way through it and got through it. And so this year, yeah, Bud joined me, and I love this race for so many reasons. One, it's only 12 hours. And I know some people are like, 12 hours sounds so long. But really, in a multi-sport event, it goes by in the blink of an eye. Like it goes so fast. And so it is a trekking, mountain biking, canoeing event, like Bud said, no set course. And so the mountain biking was a mix of some gravel roads, dirt roads, grassy roads. You have to get off the bike and trek, kind of bushwhack. And then there was a paddle portion on a river, collecting all these checkpoints. And you try to get as many checkpoints as possible. And so I love this race because it's not too crazy. Like everyone knows, I love to mountain bike, but I'm not great at it. Bud is an excellent biker and has way more skills. But this is really doable for me. The terrain wasn't anything too crazy. And so even like a week after a mountain race, I totally could handle it. And it was mainly biking. It was if
You
you could.
saw the guy with the amazing bike skills take a plunge, right? You
Yeah,
saw
well, Bud did have a tumble in a mud puddle. If you follow me
that?
on social media, you've seen the video. We should repost that.
Oh God, I
Oh,
laid down
poor
in that
Bud.
puddle.
He did giant mud puddle. He stumbled into it and ended up
That
falling
was
in.
maybe only half hour in,
Yeah,
and
we were
it
early in
was
the race. Yeah.
all day soaking wet, all
Poor
day.
Bud. But he did
That's
it.
pro that probably started me getting sick. I don't
Oh, no.
know.
No, bud, that was your kid sneezing in your eyeballs.
You know what it was?
What?
It's my puppy. She kisses everybody.
Oh no,
And
she transferred germs to
yeah,
you.
she transferred germs from one of those kids.
Yeah. No, poor Bud though. He was early on in the adventure race and he did. He laid down in a big old mud puddle when we were biking. But no, this race is great because it's doable. It's a great learning experience. It's 12 hours. It is a fun course that's doable for like an entry level, person trying to get into adventure racing. It's just the right amount of time. You can, and the requirements are, like Bud said, you only have to get to the river, bike to the river, paddle, and get yourself back to be an official finisher. So you could collect one or two checkpoints, or you could collect all 26 or however many there were. And so, based on time and how fast or slow you're going and how tired you get, it really is a flexible race where there's not a whole lot of requirements, and so you kind of have freedom and flexibility. So yeah, I think it's a great one. I know we're inviting one of our friends who has not done an adventure race before. We're going to bring her into our team next year for 2025 for the adventure race and show her the ropes.
If we could do a three-person one, that would be great.
Yeah, you can do a three or four person one. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
let's do
so we'll
that.
have like a yeah, we'll bring in our friend Amanda and show her the ropes. Yeah, it's such a fun thing. I'm not great at adventure racing by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't care because it's so fun and I get a little better with each race. Like this was the best I've ever done. This is
So
my third adventure race.
you know how we were like using the map and the landmarks and the compasses to try and find where the checkpoints are. And the whole time we're sitting there going through the woods trying to, and maybe the checkpoints are several hundred feet away from the mountain bike trail. So
Yeah.
you have to like lumber off into the woods. You can't see them from the trail. And you're looking and you're finding like maybe leaves where people step and so you're like, oh yeah, I'm hot on it. I know other
It's
people have
like
been here.
tracking. It's like
But you,
tracking an
yeah, you're
animal.
tracking, but you really can't tell because it kind of zigzags and meanders through there. And we would be like 20 feet from a checkpoint and you still can't see it.
Yeah.
And we're just like walking in circles. And
Yeah.
we went to one, maybe it was checkpoint two. We went back to it three or four times
Yeah.
before we finally got it.
Yeah.
And to me, that was like that was the last one we got on the way back to also, I think.
Yeah. It
And we
was.
missed it on the way out, but
Yeah.
man, we were so close.
We were right on top of it for probably like 30 minutes looking for it. And then it finally like magically feels like it appears and you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
no,
other
it's
ones,
so fun.
that was that was after I got wet, I
Oh
think.
yeah, I think
And
so.
so I think I was probably not feeling the best. And
Yeah,
so,
but
but later in the day, man, some of those checkpoints, I was just like feeling like it was like I could just go right to them,
yeah,
you
you
know.
were. You it was
And
clicking.
they were hidden and I was just like going right to them. And I could feel like the energy of it. I was like,
Yeah,
oh,
we were getting them. Yeah.
there's been like a presence of other
That's
people came through here, you
like
know.
I can feel it.
Yeah,
Maybe
I felt the
Kevin the
aura of
ghost gave you special powers. You know what I'm saying?
it.
No, I agree. Like towards the end, we were rocking it. Like we were finding those checkpoints. It was so fun. I mean, it's basically like a big treasure hunt for adults, and it's just the greatest. Like, I don't care if I suck at it. Each time we do it, I get a little bit better. I get better with navigation. I get better on my mountain bike. Yeah, it just all comes together. And I just had, it was just a great day in the woods. The weather was good.
I think
Yeah.
we had good mechanical fortune with our bikes. Nothing
Oh,
went bad. And
yes.
on race day, nothing went bad. So that was just really good.
Yeah, we've been lucky in our adventure races for sure. Knock on wood. Lucky. When we've had bike problems, it's always been in training or, not a race situation,
Yeah.
which is good because just this past weekend, let's bring that up. I took my bike, right? So this is the weekend after the adventure race. And so I took our friend out to do some biking out at the same area where we did our adventure race. And it's a beautiful day. This was yesterday, actually. It was a beautiful day, and we're exploring some of the dirt paths out there that we didn't take on race day. And I'm pedaling uphill, and all of a sudden I hear a pop. And I was like, oh shit. And I looked down and I thought my chain had just like come off, but no, my chain broke. My chain broke. Okay. And
Those quads.
I was like, what the hell? Oh my God. And thank God I have a bike friend who has taught me well, because Bud LaMonica made sure to teach me all the skills I needed and help me get the tools I needed. And I had the tools with me, and I fixed my chain. I shortened it. I took some links out, shortened it, put it back on with the help of my friend. And we finished our ride. It was awesome. I can't believe it. But you know, it would have sucked on race day to have to stop and do that. So totally lucky, because I mean, had we ridden 1 mile further on race day, it would have happened, because we were literally just into our ride when it happened. And so we were so close to that chain breaking at the adventure race. I mean, just a mile or two more, and it would have been over. We would have been so tired, like, oh my gosh, a broken chain, you know. So yeah, so crazy. In the last adventure race we did, the Chattanooga Epic, same thing. I don't know how I made it to the end, because the next day I wake up and my tire is completely split. I had run over something, like glass or something in the road, probably. And that tire was just, the tread was gone. And so had we gone like a couple more miles again, you know, it's like every adventure race, I'm just sliding in by the
Think about, I don't want to freak you out. Remember, like, bombing that highway down the mountain?
Oh, I know. Oh my gosh, it's so scary to think about. Like, had my tire gone out going
Oh
down.
God, I was hitting like 50 miles an hour going downhill.
So scary to think about. And that was a little extreme for me. Like the Chattanooga Epic, I mean, if you're an experienced adventure racer, you know, I'm sure it's a great race. That one, I mean, we just jumped in full-fledged, not knowing what we're doing. The Chinar, the 12-hour is like more my speed as I get my, you know, feel for adventure.
It's like an hour and a half on the canoe. That was perfect.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It went by fast. So yeah,
That
all in all, we had two.
Chattanooga one. How long was the Chattanooga canoe? 12
Oh,
hours,
all day.
eight
12.
hours.
Yeah, it was over 8 hours. It was probably like 10 hours. Yeah.
It's
Too
not
much.
right.
No, too much. Too much. Especially
Too
for
much.
us who don't, we don't train for that. You know, like, I mean,
No.
anyone can go out and paddle, but to paddle against headwinds and not as, you know, having no moving current to pull you and fighting headwinds on open water for that long is so insane. So yeah, so I think like the 12-hour, I adore it. This adventure race, I could probably do a 24-hour and still enjoy it, but the 12-hour is so much fun. I loved this race. We had two great weekends in a row. We had Mount Mitchell, we had this adventure race. We got through them and we had a great time, even with Kevin, the ghost. I mean, he seemed friendly, so that's all
I
good.
think for me, this 12-hour adventure race, I like the way that it's the way it's set up, because you have like the wildlife area, which has like the forestry roads and stuff like that. And so you can be playing back there and you can be collecting whatever checkpoints you think you're going to get. And then whenever you set your own internal timer and you say, okay, I've only got 45 minutes to make it back to the finish line, you can always decide, okay, it's time to go back home. And so I think we could have been a little bit more aggressive trying to get checkpoints and still know that you can get back home, you know?
Yeah, that's
And
what it is. That's a great feature of that race. You're right. Yeah.
I really like it. But then I couldn't believe we were sitting there 3/4 of the way done, looking for checkpoints that are like someone had stolen them or something,
Oh,
and
yeah.
there's people out there who haven't even got on the canoe yet,
Yeah.
and I'm thinking, you guys haven't even got on the canoe, it's gonna be dark.
I
You know,
know.
what the
I
hell are
was
they
worried about
thinking?
that. I know. I know. I was worried.
I don't want to canoe in the dark.
No.
And you know, you could get wet so many times in that event, and we were very fortunate. Of course, I ruined it from the beginning.
Yeah, poor bud.
My day started pretty grouchy.
Yeah.
You told me it was going to be 60 degrees, sunny, and
It did get there. It did.
it
It
was
started out cool.
30, 38 and raining.
Yeah, it was
And
drizzly and cold when we started, but it turned into a pretty day. It turned into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And
We
then
car camped the night before. That worked out. We slept at the
oh, that
start
was
line.
great.
Yeah, and that was fun. We slept good. We went to bed early. Yeah, I mean, if anyone is looking to dip their toe into adventure racing, this is the race. Like, I'm just going to say it. This is the race for you. So, I
Well,
mean,
I need some people that really suck so that way
yes,
we can
we can
beat
look
them.
good. That's right. We need some newbies. Yeah, I think next year we're going to rock it. I do. I think,
Oh,
like, if
I
we have a
do.
3-person team and we're going to train for it, like, this time, admittedly, I did not train for this adventure race. I mean, I did the bare minimum, and it worked out fine. Next year, I'm going to train. So I think it's going to be good, but this is a
I
great.
will say this. You know how because it had rained so much the days before,
Yeah.
the course was so muddy
Yeah.
and the terrain was like either gravel that you sink in or sticky ass mud that you sink in.
Yeah.
There was very few places where you're riding your bike where you have like good how would you like the rolling resistance really sucked. You're just
Yeah, it
being
was a
like
lot of effort.
bogged down the whole time. Yeah, it was hard.
It was. I will say, like, I felt like we were going slow on bikes. I could not go any faster because it was so muddy and so thick. Yeah, I agree. But, still doable. Like, I'm sure had I been better on the bike, I probably could have moved faster, but I was fine with like our pace. Like, I was happy with it. So.
Like we were headed back and we were going to checkpoint two, which
Oh, yeah.
they're backwards numbered, right?
Yeah.
And we get there and there's like other guys and they're looking for like checkpoint 26
We're like,
and
we
they
just
missed
came
it.
from
They're like,
there. Yes.
yeah, I'm like, that's one that we got hours ago
Yeah.
and it's miles behind them, freaking
Yeah.
miles. And they're just like, oh, well, and they turn around to go back to get it. And
Yeah.
I'm
I mean,
thinking, good
they're fast
God.
on the bike, probably. Like if you are fast on your bike in those conditions, you could have no problem getting all those checkpoints just whizzing around. But I felt like, yeah, with the thick mud and the thick, wet gravel mud and all the mud puddles, I was just slower. I mean, I'm not a fantastic mountain biker anyways. I do it for fun, not to race. And so, and I just coming off of Mount Mitchell, it's like legs were pretty tired still. So yeah, so I think we were just out there to have fun and see what we
Yeah.
could do. And I think we did great. I mean, it was our best adventure yet.
Remember like checkpoint 15, the one that was missing.
Somebody stole it. Oh, I hated
Yeah.
that.
All
We're
right, so
coming
we
back.
get there and we think we know where we're supposed to be. There's a dozen other people sitting here looking in the area, just looking around, and you have a couple clues. It's like a down pine tree and all this other stuff like
Yeah.
that. And we're looking at it, and I think like logically it has to be that down pine tree.
Yeah,
Other
because it's a
people have
giant
the
pine
same
tree.
thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm irritable. And other people like yeah, they're good-hearted people, and I know that they're smarter than me at adventure racing, but
Yeah.
when someone says something non-scientific in front of me, that burns me up, especially when I'm irritable, you
Yeah.
know?
Fred was
And
grumpy this day. I'm just gonna say
yeah,
it.
we'll get to why. And so this lady says, she goes, well, all these other people have looked, and so obviously they would know where it is, and if it's not here it must be stolen or something. And
Yeah.
yeah, she was right, but her statement is not
We
right.
wanted to look
Okay,
for ourselves. Yeah.
yeah, I'm like, just because the majority of people have an opinion, that does not make their opinion right.
Right.
And in fact, the majority of people are wrong about stuff. Right? Isn't that
Yeah,
correct?
it's true. Yeah,
Okay.
I wanted to think for myself and like without outside opinions. Like I really wanted to
Yeah.
approach it like, okay, that could be the truth, but I want to pretend that I am here and I'm going to use
Yeah.
my methods to find it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wanted to
And
do it.
then of course she's fed up. She's probably more irritable than I am because she's been out there for half an hour,
Yeah.
fruitlessly trying to find it. And then she's screaming at her teammates, like, Bob, get out of the woods. We're leaving,
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. No,
know?
we were just chill about it. I just wanted to see for myself because, like, okay, it's like a puzzle. Like, you're trying to figure it out. And it's like, maybe I'm missing something. And we're all looking at it the wrong way. And maybe we need to be looking at it differently. And so, yeah, you're right. Like, it's fine. It's not that I didn't believe it was stolen or not there. It's just that I wanted to come to that conclusion myself with my thought process and just know that I did what I would have done had I not had that outside information.
Well,
Like I
okay,
wanted to.
the other problem was like the first time you busted out your compass. And we're like, okay, here's north. And we're like pointing at shit and trying to
Yeah.
look. And then I realized that you and I both are look, there's like a white needle and an
Yeah, we looked at
orange
the wrong.
needle. We're looking at the white one
Yeah.
and we're like pointing freaking south.
Yeah, we were looking at
And
the wrong way.
both of us. And we're sitting there looking at your compass pointed south and we're like thinking it's north. And we're
Yeah.
like so stupid and we're looking in the wrong direction.
Know. Well, and in the
Oh
moment
God.
with all those people talking around you, it's like you can't think
I
straight.
know.
I just need to think. I can't process any thoughts
I
right now.
told you that. That's why I was irritable.
Yeah. Well, you were irritable at the beginning of the race.
Well, we laid the maps out and we're like looking at them, right? And the first thing that starts happening is, I'm in like the information superhighway. And Professor Lauren is giving me this lecture on stuff. And quite frankly, every time you pick the map up and we're pointing at shit, it was like upside down and stuff. And before I'm like trying to like read stuff and look and you don't, you're like telling me where we're going and all this. And I'm like, look, I just have to like, I'm slow at this moment. I have to think and I'm really, really slow.
I had thoughts about pushing Bud off a ledge. No, just kidding. I would never do that. But yes, he was grumpy. He did not like lecture Lauren. I wasn't using my lecture voice on purpose. It was just like I was processing and then projecting, and it was all happening at once. And I was just like, okay, here's
That's
what
called lecture. Yeah.
we're
For everyone else who's not in your head, that's called lecture.
So yes, so we started off. Bud was a little grumpy, but he got in his groove. Even with the muddy like fall into the giant mud puddle, Bud did a great job. I mean, I was impressed. I even told you like towards the end of the day, I was like, "Dang, Bud, you have impressed me." Like, because you really were like in tune with that map and finding checkpoints and getting it. Like, you were on the move. You were doing it, moving and grooving.
I told you like when we were on the canoe and like the you're going through the ravine and you're seeing the caves
Yeah.
and I was like picking up it was like my ancient Aztec ancestors or something and I was like
Hear them.
I could feel it I was tracking
That's funny.
that's
But
what
no,
it felt like.
the paddle was good because it was kind of relaxing. Like we were paddling, we were working, but the water was a little bit higher than normal that time of year, and so it had a good flow, and so it was a shorter paddle. It was only 5 miles. So it was kind of like a time to regroup and kind of like clear your head and just, you're not biking, you're not necessarily looking for checkpoints. There's only one on the river and it was pretty obvious. So yeah, it was kind of a good time to just kind of recenter and rest and
Oh, it
just,
was so beautiful. Paddle was
oh,
just
it's beautiful.
beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was. There was no one else on the water. It was beautiful. So yeah, all in all, it was a lovely day. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like, I seriously just loved that day. And we did good. I thought we both did really good given the circumstances. So go, Bud and Lauren.
Yeah. And I guess the other part about adventure racing, that's good. There's no like participation medals or none of that bullshit.
Yeah, but it's like, where's my medal? Do I not get a medal? You
What do
got a
I get?
t-shirt. You got a t-shirt. You got a beer and a couple slices of pizza.
Yeah, I did.
That was enough of a finish line medal for me. I was pretty happy about that.
I was so hungry.
Oh, I
I was
was too.
not so. I had the 2 liter water bladder,
Yeah.
and I made it through with like still like 40 ounces left.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I had all day.
Yeah.
And I should have like had more, but I didn't.
Well, I didn't even finish all my water and I was hydrated, but I did run low on food. It was so odd because I
I
kind of
was
calculated.
hungry.
Yeah. I had calculated, but somehow I must have burned way more energy on the bike than I anticipated because like I was rationing food there like the last half because I was so hungry. And I will tell you, for like the next 2 days, I could not eat enough food. I was so behind on calories. I don't know how it happened. It was so strange. But oh my gosh, I was starving. Yeah. Really, now that was like a wake-up call. Like, okay, if it's muddy and conditions are tougher, like you may need more food than you thought, Lauren, because I was starving
Yeah.
all day. It was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
Totally.
exactly. Exactly.
So, but we got through it. So proud of us. Yeah, so we had a great couple of weekends back to back. I mean, I always feel accomplished when I'm able to do two endurance events back to back and feel really good. Like I felt good at both. I felt good after. Jump right back into training. And you know, this weekend I had the bike mishap and was able to get through it and fix it. Just yeah, feeling
Doesn't
a
that give you a lot of confidence now?
Oh yeah, for real. Like I've seen you do a lot of bike maintenance and repairs, and I've followed along and I've done a little bit myself, but until you're in the field and you have no choice but to fix something so you can get out of the wilderness, it feels so good to know that yeah, you can do this. 'Cause I'm not gonna lie, when that chain first broke on my ride yesterday, I just wanted to cry. I was like, I'm just gonna hike back to the car. I know it's gonna take forever because
No,
I can't
well,
do
you
it.
gotta, that's your only alternative. There's no one to help if you don't have the parts with you to fix it or the know-how to do it.
And so like it just seems so intimidating and daunting.
And
And then
even
also,
if you're an expert, if you don't have the right part, you're screwed.
yeah,
You can't.
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
So
luckily
I have to
you
give
have
you
tool, the chain
what?
tool. If I didn't have that, I
I
couldn't have done
know. So I got to give you my perspective on it. So I'm on my deathbed. I thought I was going to die. And then I get this message and you're holding a chain that's like broke. And I was like, oh shit, I bet you she's broke her chain. So then we discussed, you got to find the missing master link. I knew it was going to be impossible. It probably like spit out 500 yards ago, you
And
know,
it
it's
was
gone.
the trail we were on was like in leaves this thick. There was
Yeah.
no finding it. Yeah.
So I was like, either you find the master link and you fix it, or you can shorten the chain and like permanently, you know, rig it back with the chain tool, you know, like remove a link or do something. And I went back to bed. 10 minutes later, I see your face again on my phone.
I'm
You're
sorry.
covered in grease. Your hands are full of grease. And you're going, what happens if I push the pin all the way out? Can I get it back in? And I'm like, okay, now you're gonna have to shorten it 2 lengths. I mean,
Did and
it's.
I knew not to push it all the way out, but in the moment, I don't
I
know what I
always do that sometimes.
did.
I know.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
just
you
did.
go too far and
When
it
it
pops out.
happened, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah,
That's
it gets.
thank you.
It's like really tight, and then it gets loose again, and then it
And then
gets
it
tight, and
just
then it gets loose again, and it pops out. But I knew when you were like covered in your whole face and your nose and everything had like black grease on it. I was like, She's messed it up.
Oh.
And so then I was like, okay, you got, maybe it's going to be too short. I don't know, but
Yeah.
maybe it'll work on all the gears. I don't know, but you at least you can get it back together still. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
The next moment, all right, so I got out of bed and I go to my car. I don't remember what I was doing. I know what I was doing. I was digging through my bike tools looking for master lanes. Not that that was going to help you 300
Yeah.
miles away. And because I knew I ordered some extra ones. And next thing I know, my phone rings and there's your face. You're holding a beautiful chain that you put back together
Did.
and it's not on the bike.
I
You're just like
know.
holding it in the middle of the air.
I was taking
And
it step by step.
I know I was like, well, you built a chain, that's great, but it's not on the bike. And the defeat in your face, and I was like, I think you have to take it back apart and put it on there.
I was seriously was like, I'm just gonna hike out. I know. It's
I know.
funny
And
because
then
after I did it, it struck me like, oh, it's I should have done this on the bike.
on
But it
the
was so hard with the tools because I was
I
having to
know.
like put the chain together because like there was no master link. So I'd take the master link, you know, and then I had to remove the
Oh,
chain.
yeah.
And so there was no way that I would have been able to do
I
it.
mean,
So I got it all together and then it was easier to just pop it open and then get it threaded through the bike and then click back together.
oh, yeah. But you did it.
Yeah, poor bud. I felt so bad because I knew you were sick, but I was like, this is the only person that's going to be able to
Yeah.
guide me through this.
You know how, like, you've been with me three or four times when I've had to buy new chains, and
Yep.
that darn kid at the bike store who's always like, you know, thinks that you have to have the exact right freaking chain for your
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know. And I'm like, dude, I've been like breaking chains and building chains my whole damn life.
Yeah.
Longer than that kid's been alive, you know?
It
And now you're in that category. So you can like go there and scorn this boy.
Get
And
off my lawn, you kid. I know how to make chain. Yeah, no, it's funny because this chain, I was with you when we bought it and put it on my bike. We took off the old chain. So all of that knowledge really did help. Yeah, it really did because I had never used the chain tool. I'd only seen you use it. So I knew how it worked, but I had not physically myself like really used it in a circumstance like that. And so like I was like, okay, think back. I remember we were in my mom's driveway. I remembered everything about like when we put the chain on. So it was just a matter of like, okay, let's just make it short. And it worked fine. Like even though it was short, it was totally fine. I finished my day. And now I do feel confident. Like, hey, if something happens to my chain, like, okay, I know what to do now. Because otherwise, I would have had no idea. So yeah, so it worked out. I'm almost still in shock that it worked out, that I was able to like, rebuild my chain and get it on my bike and finish my ride. Like I'm still like, I can't believe I did that. Because I am not, okay, I am a smart person, but I'm not one who has ever built things with tools. I just really haven't. I have not, I'm not good with tools. I've not learned to use them, especially on bikes. And so I'm just now learning, and it was so intimidating. I knew I could do it, but I just felt like so out of my league. It just seems so daunting. But now that I've done it, I'm like, oh yeah, that really wasn't that big of a deal. Like, okay.
I bet you Amanda was looking at you like, my God, she's awesome. How did you know
Oh
that?
man, Amanda, I couldn't have done it without my friend Amanda, who was there, who is hopefully going to be our adventure race partner next year. Because she is also like me, not so great with tools and things, but also like me, kind of very intuitive when like putting things together and tinkering. So like between the two of us, we were like working in conjunction, like, kind of like a team, and we got it done. I think had I not had her, it would have taken me twice as long and I might not have been able to do it. Like she gave me the confidence being there, like giving me ideas, like, oh yeah, let's try it this way. And just having another set of hands because I was so unsure of what I was doing. So it was great. Yeah, I don't think we could have done it unless we were both there. So it worked
No,
out. It worked
and
out.
she came to my bike clinic too,
She did. And
remember?
you know, this has all made me think like, we got to do another bike clinic. We got to. Even if people aren't going to do an adventure race, but just want to get on their bike, we've got to do another bike clinic because it's so worth it. Because I feel like each exposure I've had, like seeing you work on bikes and helping you like to do things on my bike, even though I might not know exactly all the details and could do it exactly all the right way, I'm learning enough that in an emergency, I can get shit to work and get myself out of the wilderness, you know, like if my life depends on it. So.
There was one time when my brother-in-law and I, we went to Colorado, and these guys and these they were young. I don't even know how they could drive a stick shift if they weren't smart enough to do it. So here's what their Jeep stalled out, and I think their alternator was bad or something like that. So the battery's dead. And I'm like, all right, boys, we'll just pop the clutch for you. We'll get it rolling and pop the clutch. And they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. And so I'm like, okay, just get in, step on the clutch and put it in first. We'll push you about 5 miles an hour and you just dump the clutch and she'll start right up. The engine starts up and they stall. And I'm like, okay, we'll step on the damn clutch again and keep the engine running. So we push it again and it starts up. And I'm like, all right, get out and I will jump start the car for you and rolling it and pop the clutch and then I'll leave it running. Okay. And then I told him, I'm like, you cannot turn it off. You cannot
You won't
stop. You cannot
restart it.
stall. You have to like, yeah, drive your ass home or drive it to a gas station or drive it to a mechanic. Do something, you know? And the whole time that I'm telling them this, I didn't realize that they're mesmerized. Absolutely mesmerized. And once I got the engine started and back in neutral and the parking brake on and it's just sitting there idling, they're staring at me with their jaws dropped. And they're like, these two guys just pushed our car and started the engine. They're looking at me like I'm a fucking wizard.
Like you're,
And
you just did some sorcery.
I'm like, how the hell are you driving a stick shift and you don't know this?
Oh
I
my
mean,
goodness. That's funny. But yeah, if you don't know, you don't know. And that's me with
I
bikes, you
know.
know? And so,
No,
yeah.
you do know that. Now you're a wizard.
Now I
You
know.
know.
Now I know. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's and yeah, you know, at the last minute, I almost didn't grab my tools because, like, oh, I won't need them. But I grabbed them because I heard Bud's voice in my head saying, "Make sure you got your tools." So I did. At the last minute, I grabbed it. Boy, I needed those. So it worked out. It was
Oh,
good. It
yeah.
worked out. So
That
yeah.
got me to really thinking about like sometimes I'll go without stuff and I'm like, I'm just on River Park, just call if I get stranded and I want to go light. And but that's the wrong mentality.
I know. I know. Yeah, I think it
Yours
was
have to
for
have your,
Amanda because she's
yeah.
getting ready to do a gravel bike race. And she was like, you know, she didn't have the chain tool. She had another little thing of tools, but she didn't have a chain tool. And so, like, had she been in the same situation, you know, she wouldn't have been able to do anything about it. So it was good. Like you said, it's like the school of hard knocks, but that's good because that's how you learn to be self-sufficient. So yeah, it was all good. It was good.
Yeah. And just like I always say, it's like even practicing in your driveway or in your garage, it's not the same as doing it in the field.
Yeah, so true.
You're always like, your heart's racing, you're nervous, you're scared, your hands are jittery, and you're fumbling around, and you only have what spare parts you brought with you. It's all you have.
And
It's a lot
again,
harder.
with the food, I didn't bring food because I'm like, we're just going out for a short ride. We're not going to be gone that long. Well, you know, this whole process took quite a while because we didn't know what we were doing. And I'm sure you would have been able to fix it a lot faster, but it took us a long time. So by the time we fixed it and got back to our ride, by the end of our ride, I was starving. I was starving. It is very rare I ever hit a trail without calories. Very rare. Like, I never do that. But this was, again, one of those times where I'm like, just going out for a quick ride. Don't need to bring any calories. I'm going to eat dinner right after. But yeah, so like, it doesn't matter how much experience you have. I feel like you're always learning and always getting reminders of why we do the things we do. Like, always carry calories no matter what. Always carry tools, that we are going to need. So yeah, all those good reminders, even after all these years and races and things that we have done, it's always good to have experiences that remind you, no matter how good you are or how experienced, if you don't carry the provisions you need, you're going to be in trouble. And we've come across that in the past as we've grown as, the backcountry and things. So lots of School of Hard Knocks, lessons, but it's good. It's good. So what we should probably, let's see, how long we've been talking? Over an hour. So let's switch gears and talk about what's coming up in just a few days, this next weekend. Just a few days, we get to reunite again in the wilderness, and it is my first ever running camp. So those who listen probably know I'm a running coach. And so I'm like, hey, let's do like kind of a mini rustic little mini retreat somewhere kind of in the wilderness. And I invited Bud to help me with it. And he so graciously is helping me with it. And so we're going to do that Friday. So starting Friday, we've got a group of six runners who are coming and who are trusting us to take them out in the wilderness and show them some mountain trails and learn some safety and knowledge and skills. So I'm nervous but really excited about it. What's your feelings, Bud?
No, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah,
And
I think it's gonna
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be good. We have been through a lot of adventures together, backcountry races, just all kinds of self-supported stuff. I mean, we've been through it a lot. And like you said, kind of circling back to the you think that we might see wild animals. We have seen bear on some of these trails that we're going to be going on. We have seen bear. And so it's going to be a good lesson for wildlife. Like, what do you do? We're in obviously Tennessee, North Carolina border. We have black bears. We don't have grizzlies. What you're probably going to run into most likely in eastern Tennessee in the mountains is black bears, which is good because they're not grizzlies. Grizzlies are a little harder to deal with. Black bears, not so much. So it's going to be a great learning experience. We may or may not see bear. I don't know. I kind of hope we do. It's spring. Spring has kind of sprung here with the time change. The days are getting longer. We're getting a little bit warmer during the day. Things are starting to bloom, so it is time for bears to kind of get out and start really focusing on feeding now that things are growing and out and about. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the weekend. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm excited to show people new stuff they've never seen.
Yeah.
So maybe someone has never filtered water from a creek. Maybe someone has never built a fire. Maybe someone has never made coffee in the woods. You can do all these type of things, and
Yeah.
I don't know what is going to be new for everybody. We'll have to see when the crowd is there.
Yeah. I
And
think we'll have a range of abilities and a range of, ex personal experienced experiences through these people. I think navigating, feeling comfortable navigating in the backcountry is big for a lot of us. And so hopefully we can help with that. There's lots of different ways to tackle that. So I'm excited. And on the coaching side, I'm really excited because I've got all of this fueling options. So I've got all kinds of electrolytes and trail foods for people to try. Because let's face it, that stuff's expensive and there's so many options. So I've kind of narrowed it down to things that I know are good products. I have like a plethora of products for people to take with them on their run, and it's their chance to try it out. It's their chance to learn about, okay, what does proper fueling look like on the trail? Like, okay, I want to go in the backcountry. What do I need to take? How do I filter water? Like you're talking about, what do I do if there's a bear? What do I do if I'm lost? So there's so much that goes into it, not only for people just wanting to run in the backcountry, but I mean, look at like, let's talk about when you do a really out there 100 miler or 200 miler, or even just an out there 50 miler, right? Sometimes you may be in a wilderness area and you know there's large stretches between aid stations. What if something happens? What if you get lost? What if you have a bear encounter? What would you do? And so I feel like for people who are really interested in hitting the trails and feeling safe and confident, these skills apply kind of no matter where you fall on that spectrum. Like maybe you don't want to go out into the wilderness every weekend and use your skills, but you are interested in doing this really cool 100 miler that's way out, in this wilderness area. So I think people can find like use for these skills in a wide array of situations, So that's cool. Yay. And again, how did we learn a lot of this, bud?
Hard knocks.
Hard knocks. We can talk about where we messed up in the past and what we now would know to
Well,
do better.
it's like the mountaineering book that I'm reading, and the people that spent 25 days on a glacier, and they're teaching you how to get out of a crevasse because they fell in them and damn near died. So, they're like, this is why you rig it this way, so that way you're not upside down. And they've been upside down. It's 10 times harder when you fall upside down,
Experience is the best teacher. And so having someone with those experiences can be quite helpful for sure. I'm lucky in my life to have people who are more experienced than me teach me how they learn their hard knocks. And so now I feel like it's our turn to pass on what we know.
Right, but it's like as easy as it is to carry like the Katydin filter with you. And if someone runs out of water and you're like, oh, why don't you just filter some water? It's like, well, if you didn't bring a water filter, how are you going to do that?
That's right.
You
You
know,
don't know what
you're
you
going to,
don't know
right.
until you're in
So
that situation.
now you're deciding, do I drink now and am I going to get sick tomorrow? Okay. But you don't want to die now, so you have to drink now.
And I have
So.
a great story, and I'm going to share this with the people at the running camp, but I'll share it here on the podcast as well. When I was training for a 200, I spent a lot of solo time in the backcountry at Frozen Head State Park. So if most people know Frozen Head, it's a state park. It's where the Barclays are. But what a lot of people don't know is that it's not just a contained park. It actually backs up to a lot of backcountry land, a lot of forestry land, hunting land. It's a huge, huge wilderness area outside of the park lines. So, you can be way back in that park and keep going out into the wilderness. Like there is, you don't come to a city. You are out in the mountains of East Tennessee. It's a vast wilderness landscape. Those who do the Barclay know this because they are outside of the park boundaries for a lot of the race. So a lot of people, obviously, because of the Barclays, come to visit Frozen Head State Park and go for a run, right? A little adventure. And they're totally not prepared. And so I had such an experience. I've spent a lot of time in that backcountry by myself at Frozen Head training. I've spent weekends there where I don't see another person. And I love it. But this one time, I was out on a day long thing and I'd run back to camp to grab some lunch and I was heading back out to go to a backcountry wilderness area, do some, more running for the rest of the afternoon. And I passed this young girl who doesn't have any supplies with her, but she's got running shoes on. And so like I kind of stop and like, hey, how's it going? What you doing? Because it was a little odd to see someone out there without any provisions, no vest, nothing. And she's like, yeah, I'm just gonna take a short run up here, up the mountain and cut back and come down. I was like, oh, cool, and so I kind of go on my way and I don't really think about it. Storm hits really bad, summertime, really bad, severe, crazy storm hits when I'm on the mountain. So I start heading down the mountain. It's been a long day. I've done like 30 miles. Okay, so I'm coming down this mountain in this torrential storm. And all of a sudden, I'm running down one of these forestry roads, like an unnamed, unmarked road down the mountain, just because I'm trying to get down quick. And I run into this girl. Now, I had seen her hours ago. I've been out in the backcountry for hours. Like, I had water filtration. I had like thousands of calories of food. I had a fast pack. I was fully loaded down. So I come across this girl because I'm heading back to try to get out of the storm and get back to camp. And 6 hours ago, I had seen her. This poor girl was in tears, and she'd had to drink out of a creek, no filter, nothing, because she'd gotten way off into the backcountry. Because that trail will keep going. Like, if you don't know to cut back down, you'll just keep going for 100 miles into very deep, deep backcountry that's not maintained. So she had finally found her way back to this forestry road I was on and was hoping to run into somebody. She runs into me. Poor girl had to bend down in the storm and drink out of the raging creek. She had no food. She had no clothes, no anything, no map. There's no cell phone service out there. Nobody has cell phone service out there. And luckily, she ran into me and I was able to get her down. And that's your perfect example. She went out for like a 4 mile run and ended up, 6 hours later, wandering in the back country, drinking out of creeks, caught in a torrential storm with no supplies. Had she had to stay the night out there, it would have been bad
That
news.
sounds like Gilligan's Island, you know.
It's just because it may be, say, a park, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get lost and into trouble. Anybody that's been out there, especially this part of the park that backs up to this vast wilderness, like, man, she could have been lost for days out there. Who knows? There are bear and lots of wild boar out there.
What about that lady that was running? What's the name of that part that she was running? They had to send a helicopter after,
Oh my
and
gosh.
it's
Now
like,
that was crazy. So in Nashville, we have a park where everybody runs.
what's it called?
Percy Warner. And a city park. Like, eventually you go in any direction, you'll hit a
Oh,
highway, road,
you're
or
400
fast
feet
food.
from any parking lot, but
Yeah,
when
this
it's
is a
dark and
totally
you're
different.
lost, you're lost, you know?
Yeah, but she was so lost and it came dark and she they had to rescue her. They had helicopters up top and they had four-wheeler. It was hilarious. But that does prove the point that, even in a city park, it's vast enough that you could get lost and get in trouble. Eventually, if she kept going, she'd reach civilization. Whereas at Frozen Head, you keep going, you ain't going anywhere for hundreds of miles. You're in the mountain. You'll end up in the Smoky Mountains somewhere, So I've come across people. Law. I mean, there's stories of people getting lost right off the AT and end up dying. Even though the AT is so easy to follow and it's so heavily trafficked, people get turned around. It's always a good idea to be prepared. And I think that, as someone in this industry who is coaching people and encouraging people to get into the wilderness and do these crazy adventure things and endurance events, I also have a responsibility to keep people safe and to teach them, like, hey, these skills are important. And I don't care if it's a, city park or you're going to some other wilderness place. Like, let's think about what we need to be safe, because you never know what could happen. You just really never do. And so, but we have lots of stories we could share on that, and we'll share them at our camp this weekend, because again, what better teacher than experience, right? Don't make the mistakes we made. So it'll be good. It'll be good. So we'll report back on that. But yeah, so that wraps up where we've been this year, I guess, so far, bud. Bud just has to get better for this retreat. I can't have him sick. I need full-fledged, like,
I'm getting
100%.
better by the hour. Yeah.
Okay, good.
You say recognize this cup.
Good deal, bud. All
You
right.
recognize that?
Anything else that we should say before we wrap up? People are probably tired of us talking about all this stuff.
I don't have anything else.
Awesome. Well, we'll report back after the running camp, and then we've got a little lull in activity. I'm going to be heading to Chattanooga. I think we're going to do a little training together. Getting ready for some other stuff that we'll talk about in an upcoming podcast. But yeah, it's been a great 2024 so far. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the year.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, bud.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.